We're doing Megillat Rut, and you guys are welcome to get Hebrew English Megillat Rut. As per your request, we're doing it with the text inside. We are in the middle of the third chapter, and we had seen that Boaz had told, Naomi had told Ruth an unusual thing. Naomi had told Ruth, you get ready, you go down to Boaz. Naomi tells Ruth, look, he expressed an interest in this shidduch. 3 months have passed, that's the time that every widow has to wait after her husband dies to ensure that she's not pregnant from her husband. And he hasn't followed up. Naomi has prophecy, she has Ruach HaKodesh. She knows that from Rus is supposed to come King David and the ultimate Mashiach. And she knows the time is of the essence. Who is Boaz? Boaz is Ivtson. Boaz has had 30 sons, and he's married off those 30 sons. He's a contemporary of Manoach, the father of Samson, the father of Shimshon. And Manoach has no kids. And every time Boaz marries off a child, even though there's another great leader of the Jewish people, Manoach's around, Boaz neglects to invite him to the wedding. 30 kids he marries off, 30 weddings that he doesn't invite Manoach. And God holds Boaz to task over that. And so God sees to it that within Boaz's lifetime, all 30 sons pass away. Now, Boaz must have lived a pretty long life if he was Ivtson and he's still around in the time of Manoach, the father of Shimshon. Yeah?
He had a reason to not invite the guy. Because it used to be that when you went to a wedding, you brought food.
Right.
And if you don't have kids, the person doesn't have the ability to return the favor.
Correct.
So, but Manoach, he had Shimshon as his son.
Ultimately, after years of being barren. That's a good point. And nonetheless, Chazal say he was held accountable for it. He had a logic. He said, I'm never going to... Chazal still say there was something wrong there. We don't know exactly what it was. There was something wrong in it. And a great man like Boaz was held accountable for it. So now Boaz is in this situation where he's a very, very old man. He's very wealthy. He's the leader of the Jewish people. And he has no kids left. He needs to find the shidduch. He just lost his wife. He's got no kids left. All his children have died in his lifetime. Naomi sees her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and she says, Ruth, look, I want you to know, Biti, my beloved daughter, don't think I want you out of here. Everyone knows I love you. And don't think that I want this for my own benefit. You'll marry the wealthy boss. You'll take good care of me. I want what's good for you. I want your ultimate rest. I want the future that's supposed to come from you to come from you.
Then why did she first tell her to leave and go back to your people?
That's two classes ago.
Okay.
Sorry, we don't have the time to go back to it now. And she says, look, I don't want to work this through Shadchanim. Technically, Naomi should have said sent a Shadchan and told Boaz, what's going on here? Time is of the essence. We're going to see that the way things worked here, Rus comes to the granary. That night, Boaz says, we're not doing anything yet. We're going to see what happens in the morning. That morning, he doesn't wait. He takes care of business. Marries Ruth. That night, they have one night together, and the next morning, he's dead. Boaz does not live beyond the night of marriage. Had Naomi waited one day, let me get a shadchan, let's work this out. We got a shidduch for you. Wouldn't have happened. And Naomi is on the level that Naomi sees all of this. Because, let's go back a little bit in history. The Jewish people were passing by Moabite territory, and God had a vendetta with the Moabites. God wanted to end a certain claim God had against the Moabites, and God told the Jewish people, don't harm them. Why? There's still something good coming out of them. There's a spark of light within the Moabites that hasn't come out. And when Naomi meets Ruth, Naomi sees that's a spark. You're the one. Ruth, Boaz already told you, you're going to have kings. Boaz already told you that the future of the Jewish people lies within you. Boaz told you you're capable of marrying into the Jewish people. Naomi tells Ruth, Boaz is a prophet. Boaz wasn't just giving you blessing. Boaz told you your future. And there's no one among the tribe of Yehuda who's fit to bring about the Mashiach, to bring about David the Medech, like Boaz. So Naomi tells Ruth, this is the plan, and this is what I want you to do, and the Shechina, my Shechina is going to go with you. The Medrash compares Naomi's actions to Rivka sending Yaakov to get the blessings. Rivka tells Yaakov, don't worry about it. If your father will curse, who will he curse? He'll curse me. He knows I put you up to it. That's what Naomi tells Ruth. Ruth, don't worry about it. I'm the one who's sending you. If Boaz gets upset, he knows I'm your mentor. He knows whatever you do, you're listening to me. He'll blame me. He'll know I'm behind it. The Medrash tells us that Rus here was acting just like Rus. In heaven, God said, this has to happen. Mashiach has to come out of this. And if Mashiach tries to come out of a regular shidduch, God says, the Satan automatically gets involved. The only way God can make Mashiach come to the world is when it seems like everything's wrong. Yehuda's going up to share his sheep. He's just lost his wife. Notice the comparison. Boaz just lost his wife. Along comes Tamar. She just lost her two husbands. Notice the comparison. Rus just lost her husband. Along comes Tamar dressed up like what? Like a woman of ill repute.
Harlot.
Notice the comparison. Along comes Rus in that night. She's coming and what's Boaz supposed to think when this happens? Aren't we seeing a repeat of history? Our sages tell us God said to Yehuda, God sent an angel with Rus. God sent an angel with Tamar to Yehuda and said, Yehuda, where are you going? Yehuda was traveling and he sees the woman of ill repute standing on the side. He doesn't know it's Tamar. Yehuda keeps traveling. What's he interested? God sends an angel who smacks Yehuda and says, Yehuda, what's wrong with you? Yehuda says, what do you want from me? Angel says, aren't you supposed to have kings? Isn't there supposed to be leaders of the Jewish people? Don't you have business to do here? And the angel sends you the back. That's what the Medrash says. Well, the same idea is going on here. Naomi tells Rus, you go. I'm telling you, I'm going to send God's with you here. This is what has to happen. That's one understanding in the Medrash. There's another understanding. And the other understanding says that when Rus showed up to the granary, and Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night, Boaz sees her, and he sees the same girl who was harvesting among the boys. Right? And he told her, Rus, this isn't the way it's done. You harvest among the girls. And she does. And now that night, she comes to the granary, and Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night, and he sees her there. And he knows what she's thinking. So Boaz tells her, don't feel bad. You meant well. You're right. I should marry you. But now's not the time. I swear I'll take care of it in the morning. But we're not going to do it this way. And according to that understanding, which is the way the Malbim explains, that's a more simple understanding as to what went on here. They didn't have the capacity to look Boaz in the eye and say, why don't you marry me? And they were waiting and waiting and waiting, and now that the harvest was over, Naomi realized, until now, Boaz has been treating her nicely, but it's all over now. What are we going to wait? Another year? He's an old man. I can't wait for her to find the shidduch now. Who's she going to end up with? He's not doing anything. We're impoverished, and he doesn't realize what state we're in. We've sold all our fields, and where's Boaz? Why isn't he helping us out? Doesn't he have a mitzvah in the Torah to buy our fields? Boaz isn't doing it, so he's not aware of what's going on. He's seen my daughter-in-law 3 months there by the field. So one understanding in Chazal is that Boaz was busy verifying, is she marriageable? Can she marry into the Jewish people? We brought that according to the Gra, that was still a question. The Targum says that in their first meeting, Boaz tells Rus, don't worry girl, you can marry into the Jewish people, everything will be alright, you're going to have kings, you're going to have the Mashiach coming from you. But the Gra doesn't go with that. The Gra says no. Boaz told Rus, wait, I'm interested. My lad told me you're a good shidduch for me. I'm interested, but I got to verify whether you could or can't marry into the Jewish people. Yes?
Is this why they also didn't accept David the first time as king?
Not as king, but when David first came onto the scene, King Saul saw him and he got scared, and one of his advisors, Shimi ben Gera, said, before you wonder whether he's fit to be king, why don't you ask whether he's fit to be a Jew? And then they sent to the Beis Medrash.
Yeah, but then how come? Because his mom couldn't heard it.
Right, but she was a Moabite. But she was a Moabite.
Yeah, but the Moabite is allowed to marry, but not the...
So let's wait. We'll get to that at the end. That's where we'll get to. If it's quick, because we got 7 minutes.
So she converted after as a widow.
Correct.
She doesn't have to be given at all.
What Correct. This so let's get to that. So let's move forward, and we'll get to that. Okay, but we got
to
go in order. Sorry. The idea is that this was a custom they had in those times, that the distant relatives would marry the relatives, and we see that the concept of Yibum predated the Torah. We find it in the Torah itself, as the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim. And the concept of Yibum is more encompassing than just siblings, even though the ideal form of Yibum is with siblings. That's in a nutshell, and let's see how far we get.
Well,
that far we can't go. The Navi continues. So Rus is going down, and we'll pick up where we left off. Pasuk Zayin, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. Vayochal bo hazvayesht vayitav libo vayavo lishkav bikzei harima vatavo valat vategal margelotav vatishkav. Boaz ate. Boaz drank. Boaz, his heart was good. He blessed God. He thanked God. Now he sees this pile of grain. A year ago there was a famine. Now there's grain. So he's thanking God. God accepted his prayer. The famine has passed. There's been rain. And now he goes to sleep after learning Torah. Vayitav libo, his heart is filled with Torah, is good with Torah. And he goes to sleep next to the pile of grain. Does Boaz go to sleep alone?
No.
No.
So here there's a machlokas.
Later and sleeps on his, at his feet.
Here there's a machlokas. The simple understanding is that Boaz is the man of the hour, and he's watching to ensure no one steals his grain. The generation has just underwent the famine. There's a lot of thievery going on, and Boaz is there to ensure no one steals his grain. At the end of the meeting with Boaz and Ruth, in the morning, Boaz declares, let it not be known that a woman came to the granary. Who's he talking to?
Ruth.
Is he telling Ruth? Or, an alternate understanding, he had his lads there.
No.
That's why he tells Ruth, don't you go back.
He had his what there?
He had his lads. His lads were around. Rus is hiding. She comes and everyone thinks she's come because she was with all the girls. She came to say hello, to see how everyone's doing. They're partying. They would always party when they finally had piles of grain. It was party season because they would thank God for all the good that they had. That's why the days of Spiros Omer were days of parties. Now, up until Shavuot, they were always partying for the grain, the blessing that God gave them. So everyone thinks she came to party with him. She has her knapsack. Inside her knapsack, she has her Shabbos clothes. After everyone leaves, she sneaks. She hides behind the pile. She switches into her Shabbos clothes. She puts on her perfume. She sets up her hair. From here, we see that that's what a woman's supposed to do before a date. She sets up her hair. She sets up her perfume. She's all washed up. No one sees her. Buzz has taken care of everything he has to take care of, and he goes to sleep, and it's unclear whether he's alone or not. Vatavo valat. She comes quietly in hiding. Vategal malgilotah vatishkav. And she uncovers his feet. She takes off the blanket and she lies down at his feet. Vayhi bachatzi halayla. The middle of the night comes. What happens in the middle of the night? Tzadikim get up to daven. So the middle of the night comes. David HaMelech also got up in the middle of the night. We have a whole song on Pesach night. Yehuda could sing it for you. Vayhi bachatzi halayla. What happened there? Our world history really revolves around the middle of the night. From the Exodus from Egypt, right? The middle of the night. What happened? We know. So, he wakes up. And he doubles over. And there's moonlight. And he sees that there's a woman lying at his feet. Vayhi bachatzi halayla. It was the middle of the night. Vayecherad ha'ish vayilafet. And the man got scared stiff. He doubled over. He sees someone lying there at his feet. He sees there's a woman. Vinei isha. Behold, there's a woman. Shochevet margelotav. Lying by his feet. He's lost his wife 3 months ago. There's a young woman lying there. Vayomer miat. And he asks her, who are you? Vatomer, Anochi Ruth Amaticha. It is I, Ruth, your maid. Ufarastach enafecha alamaticha, ki goelata. And please spread your wing over your maid. Marry me, because you are a redeemer. You're one of the relatives that are responsible to marry us. At that moment, Boaz knows that he's not going to do anything tonight. And she's going to be disappointed. So he begins by telling her, Vayomer Berucha at Ladonai Biti Heitav Chasnecha Acharon Min HaRishon. Notice his wisdom. He begins by reassuring her, you are blessed before God, my daughter. Your last kindness is even bigger than your first kindness. How old are you? 22, 24. We discussed the Pashup Shat. She's called a Na'ara, a young girl. She's young. There's room to discuss if she was the daughter of, or granddaughter of Eglon, then that puts her much older. She had to be. If she was his granddaughter, we can't know. But if she was his daughter, then she's a very old lady. But Pashup Shat in the Megillah is that she's a young girl. And your last kindness is even greater than the first kindness that you did. You became a giyoret, you took care of your widowed mother-in-law, you took care of your husbands after they died. And now your last kindness, levilti lechet acharei habachurim imdal ve'imashir. You didn't go after the young men. You could have had a young man. You could have taken any chasm. Wealthy, poor, you didn't do that. You came to me, the old man, because I'm a relative, to maintain the minhag, the custom. And now, Biti al tiri'i kol asher tomeri e'eselach. Don't worry, whatever you tell me, I'll do. Ki yodeha kol sha'ar ami ki eshet chaylach. Because everyone knows that you're an eshet chayl. I have no shame in marrying you. Don't think I'm putting you off. Don't think I'm just telling you words, you know, it's very nice, but you're not doing anything. I will do it, and I'm not embarrassed to do it. Everyone knows that you're the best possible shidduch for me. Don't say, well, I know, Boaz, you're the leader of the Jewish people, you'll marry a me, a Moabite, a girl, a giyores. No, it's not that way. Ve'ata ki omnam ki goel anochi. But the truth is that even though I am a redeemer, V'gam yesh goel karov mimeni. But according to the custom, there is someone who's closer than I am. Lini halayla v'yav haboker im yigalech tov yigal. Sleep the night. I don't want you walking around with our other guys. And if we go with the understanding that he had his lad there, so he didn't have the problem of yichud. In the morning, if tov redeems you, that's the relative good. Vim lo yachpots legaolech ugalti chanochi chayadonai shichvi ad haboker. If he doesn't want to, I will. I swear by God. Don't think I'm just pushing you off. I swear I will do it, but sleep till the morning. And Chazal say, when he made a promise, he was also swearing, and I won't do anything tonight. And he knew that when he takes God's name, he won't desecrate it. But he also knew that if he doesn't take God's name, he has to wonder what's going to happen that night. He lay there and he was explaining to her why he's not going to do anything. And as he's concluding his speech, he's not so convinced himself. So he says, I swear by God, nothing's happening tonight. And he knows once he's sworn, he's not going to break the vow. Yeah, we don't have time, I'm sorry. Vatishkav margelotah vadaboker. So she slept there till the morning. Vatakom biterem yakiri shetreyehu. And she got up before people could recognize who was whom. Vayomer al hivada ki vaisha hagorin. And he said, do me a favor. Leave now before I don't want people to know that a woman came to the granary. Now, let's not give people room to talk. We know nothing happened. But who's going to know but us? So little did he know. All of us know too. Right? It's all written down. Shmuel wrote all of this. Vayomer havi. המטפחת אשר עלייך וחוזיבה ותוכז בה וימות שש שעורים וישת עליה ויבוא העיר. So he asks her, give me your kerchief. She holds on to it. He gives her six barley. There's a lot of room to discuss why he gave her six. In their days they divided things by sixes. And he goes to the city and he calls the redeemer. The relative told, we're out of time, so I'm just going to summarize the end of the Megillah in 2 minutes. He calls the Redeemer. He brings only 10 people. He doesn't want to shame him. He doesn't bring the whole court. And he asks him, do you want to redeem the fields that are relative sold? He said, no problem. He says, do you want to also marry Rus? Rus needs someone to marry her, and you're the closest relative. And he says, you know, I have a wife, I have kids. One understanding is, he said, if I bring another wife home at the end of the day, my wife will shoot me. I can't do that. I'm going to kill my shalom bias. I can't do that. He said, I'm a married man. You're a widower. Marry her. There's another understanding that says that he said, I'm worried. You're telling me that Allah is that if I marry her, the kids I have are kosher. What do I know what the next court will say? You're an old man. I respect your psaf. But what will be next court? Maybe the next generation will question it. Maybe they'll overturn your ruling. And he was right. Because we find 3 generations later in David's time, the courts contemplated overruling it. Then they said, no, this is the tradition we have. This is the halacha. But he said, not only will I kill the kids I have from her, people will start talking about my other kids too. They'll start saying, oh, we heard, yeah, he married an improper woman. Who knows which kids are from whom? I'll destroy everything I've built till now. I can't do that. So what's he telling Boaz? So you have no wife, you marry her. And Boaz has no problem with that. But we have to think about it. Boaz was not only ruling that Rus is a kosher giyoret. He's marrying a giyoret. He's marrying a giyoret, and he's ruling that she's kosher to marry into the Jewish people. And he's marrying her when he has no children of his own. And he chooses to marry her. And he knows who's going to bring up his kids. What are the odds he's going to live long enough to bring up those kids? It's her, it's Naomi, and he has no problem with that. And it's not like she was perfect. She was a giyores, and 3 months ago he was telling her, don't be with the guys, do me a favor, you collect with my girls. So she's not perfect. We don't expect the ger to be perfect. But he knows where her heart is. And so Boaz willingly and happily marries her, and as we said earlier, he only lives that night, but that's all it takes. And he passed away the next morning.
But why?
Why? The question is why God gave him this longevity to marry Rus. But that was because God wanted this spark of David to come out. There's a lot to discuss here, but we're out of time. Maybe
continue tomorrow, of course.
How many guys want questions?